Make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold and make a gold molding around it. Also make around it a rim, 1 hand breadth wide, and put a gold molding on the rim. Make 4 gold rings for the table and fasten them to the 4 corners where the 4 legs are. The rings are to be close to the rim to hold the poles used in carrying the table. Make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold and carry the table with them, and make its plates and dishes of pure gold, as well as its pitchers and bowls for the pouring out of offerings. Put the bread of presents on this table to be before me at all times.
We're in a series looking at the tabernacle. We've been working our way through the book of Exodus over a long period of time in sections, and now we're in the last section, the back half of the book, which often gets forgotten. We know quite well the stories of Moses leading God's people out of Egypt, but this back half of the book, less familiar, and yet there's more detail here than there is in, for example, the crossing of the Red Sea, or the plagues, or even the Passover, the tabernacle. We were thinking over the last couple of weeks how this helps us to understand God is coming to dwell with his people. And what was being built was a tent. Is anyone going camping this summer, or anyone been camping already this summer? There's a few hands. Well, this should connect with you. What you've experienced or what you will experience in camping, that's what's going on when the tabernacle is being described. God's people are living in tents, and God is going to come and dwell among them in a tent. We saw last week that this tent is divided into a couple of sections. I think I've got that on the next slide. There we are. At one end was what is called the most holy place. And just one item of furniture is in that section. That's what we looked at last week. And that is the Ark of the Covenant. Not an ark like Noah built to rescue God's people from the flood, but essentially a box, an ark. Inside the box were the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments on. On top of the box was what is called the atonement cover. And we saw last week that this is where God would particularly dwell. It's like a footstool of his throne, where God would reign and God would speak to his people. Now that's behind a thick curtain. That's what the line that comes down in the middle of the tabernacle is. It's a thick curtain. It's got cherubim on. We thought about them a couple of weeks ago, keeping people away from the presence of God. Only the high priest, and only once a year, could go through to the Ark of the Covenant. But they could go every day to the holy place, slightly bigger section of the tabernacle, bigger section of the tent. And in this section, there are 3 items of furniture. We're going to look at 2 of them this week, and 1 of them next week. There was a table on the north side, a lampstand opposite it on the south side. A table. What do we learn about the table? Well, look at verse 23. Do you see what Daniel read to us in verse 23? Make a table of acacia wood. That was the wood that was around them in the wilderness. Really strong wood. Wood that would last. Make it 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. 1 cubit, remember, is sort of the distance from your fingertips to your elbow. So we can work out roughly how big this table was. It's not very big. But look at what it was covered in. Overlay it with gold. Pure gold. And indeed, the things that were to go on the table were to be covered in gold. You know, within the tabernacle, everything that's near to the presence of God is covered in gold. There's lots of gold in the tabernacle. It's a sign of God's holiness, his kingliness. It's a sign of how special this place was. What do you have that's covered in gold at home? My guess is not very much, if anything. Because it's valuable, isn't it? It's for special people in special places. But the table in the holy place was to be covered in gold. The table was also to be portable. Look at verse 26. Make four gold rings for the table and fasten them to the four corners where the four legs are. The rings are to be close to the rim to hold the poles used in carrying the table. Remember, the tabernacle needs to be packable, portable, because God's people were on the move. Just like if you go camping, you can pack your tent down and put it in your car. So the tabernacle was to be something that could be packed down, taken apart, and then carried. They didn't have a car. So the table had poles on either side of it that four people could carry to the next place where God's people would stop and sleep and dwell. And then notice verse 29, make its plates and dishes of pure gold, as well as pitchers and bowls for the pouring out of offerings. This gives us a clue, doesn't it? This table isn't to be a desk. It's not where the priests are going to go and do their homework. No, this table is more like a meal table. There are plates and cups and bowls. And then look at verse 30. Put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. The bread of the presence, or the bread of the face, more literally. In Leviticus, we read that this bread consisted of 12 loaves. Why were there 12? What's the number 12 got to do with the people of God? Well, there were 12 tribes. And so this bread is representing, if you like, the 12 tribes in fellowship with God. There in his presence, this table with 12 loaves of bread. Those 12 loaves of bread were to be put out freshly every week on the Sabbath. At the end of every week, the priests were to eat that bread before the next batch replaced it. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Here's the tabernacle, where God is going to come and dwell with his people. This is really significant. What's in the tabernacle? Everything there must be significant. There's a table. It's got bread on it. What is God teaching us? What is he revealing about himself? Well, there's two directions we can look when we look at the tabernacle together. One is to look back to Eden, the last time God dwelt with his people. And the other is to look forward to Jesus, because all the Bible points to Jesus. There'll be things here that remind us of Eden, and things here that point forward to Jesus. How does this remind us of things in Eden? Well, I've skipped out a slide. Before we get to that, here's the big thing we're learning. Here's what's going on in and through the tabernacle. God is drawing near, restoring relationship. That's the big thing through the table. That's what the table is showing us. God is drawing near, restoring relationship. So what do we learn from Eden? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, we read of what God provided. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. In Eden, we see God provided food for his people. Adam and Eve had plenty they could eat. They could enjoy that food. But alongside the food, we also see relationship in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, they wanted to hide from God when it says God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Imagine that. Imagine God walking in your garden, that you might talk to him, spend time with him. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it, to have the closeness of relationship like that. That's what it was like in Eden for Adam and Eve. Their relationship with God was really good until they sinned, and then they got kicked out of the garden. And then their relationship with God was broken. They couldn't walk with him and talk with him in the same way. But now at the tabernacle, there's a table. There's a promise of relationship being restored. And of course, we look on to Jesus. How does Jesus connect with a table with bread on? Any ideas? There's a few connections, aren't there? Yeah, Jesus stood up and said, this is in John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This bread on the table, the bread of the presence, points forward to Jesus. What was true in the tabernacle of God restoring relationship would be even more true through the Lord Jesus that it's pointing to. Jesus comes and says, I'm the bread of life. I will provide for you. He taught us through the Lord's Prayer, didn't he? Give us today our daily bread. God will provide for us. But he also comes, doesn't he, through his body to restore our relationship with God. That's what we're going to remember later in this service with this table. He gives us a table that we should gather around regularly. And he told us that through his body, broken, we might know forgiveness with God, relationship restored with God. Through his blood shed, we might come into relationship with God, receive forgiveness from God. And again, Jesus speaks in the language of meals and food together. Famously in Revelation, Jesus says this, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. You see how the Bible connects together these great themes through the Bible from Eden, through the tabernacle, pointing on to Jesus into the book of Revelation. It all holds together. It's all connected. It's all one story. And here through the table in the tabernacle, we see God is moving to restore relationship with us. Close relationship with us. In the new creation, we'll enjoy that more fully. Revelation 21 says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. That is close relationship, isn't it? God with his people. Do you enjoy that relationship with God now? Not fully as we will in the new creation, but in part now, through faith now, with the help of God's Spirit now. Talking to God through prayer, listening to God through his word, knowing and being known by God. You know, that's what mealtimes do, isn't it? If you sit down for a meal with somebody, it's an opportunity to talk together, isn't it? And that's what the Lord Jesus is offering to us. That kind of relationship, that depth of relationship. We can get distracted from it so easily, can't we? We can get drawn to other things, other relationships.
Make a lampstand of pure gold, hammer out its base and shaft, and make its flower-like cups buds and blossoms of one piece with them. 6 branches are to extend from the sides of the lampstand, 3 on one side and 3 on the other. 3 cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms are to be on one branch, 3 on the next branch, and the same for all 6 branches extending from the lampstand. And on the lampstand there are to be 4 cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms. 1 bud shall be under the first pair of branches extending from the lampstand, a 2nd bud under the 2nd pair, and a 3rd bud under the 3rd pair, 6 branches in all. The buds and branches shall be all be of one piece with a lampstand hammered out of pure gold. Then make it 7 lamps and set them up on it so they light the space in front of it. Its wick trimmers and trays are to be of pure gold. A talent of pure gold is to be used for the lampstand and all these accessories. See that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.
The next item of furniture is described in these verses. We've seen the table, and now we're going to look at something else. I've got it here, well, a version of. Because we've got a table with us here today already. And big thanks to Hope Church Sutton, who made these and other items for the tabernacle. I hope that's not going to fall over. There's a lampstand. A lampstand made of gold. Do you see that in verse 31? Pure gold. No acacia wood being used, no wood for a lampstand because it's going to have fire on it. So purely metal, pure gold. But there's a lot of detail given, isn't there, in those verses? And as we read through the detail, we see that this lampstand actually looks like something else. Do you notice what it looks like? Verse 31, make a lampstand of pure gold, hammer out its base and shaft, and make its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms of one piece with them. 6 branches are to extend from the side of the lampstand. I'll pause there. Branches, blossoms, buds. What are we thinking of, Ruth? What are we hearing? Tree, that's right. This lampstand is being designed by God to look like a tree. Now, I think some of those tree-like features are missing off of our lampstand, but there's branches, aren't there? And there's a lot of intricate detail being described here. Look at verse 33, 3 cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms are to be on one branch. 3 on the next branch, and the same for all 6 branches extending from the lampstand. Goes on, lots of detail as to what this is going to look like, but all the detail concerns buds and blossoms and flowers and branches. The lampstand is reminding us of a tree. And again, we need to think this is the tabernacle. God is revealing something of himself through the tabernacle. The items of furniture in the tabernacle are significant. But we saw that with the table. We can see it too with the lampstand. Now, the tent was dark. It had no windows. It had curtains covering over the doorway. So the lampstand was practically helpful. It meant that when the priests went in there, they could see, because it was dark. But why all the intricate detail to make it look like a tree? Well, remember, where we look when we think of the tabernacle, we look back to Eden. We look forward to Jesus, back to Eden. Are there any trees in Eden? In the Garden of Eden, any trees? Actually, there's loads of trees. All sorts of trees that God gave for food. But there's 2 trees in particular, aren't there? and one that we're going to focus on especially. Oh, and I've forgotten the main point as well. I've done that again. Oh, no, I haven't. We're okay. We'll get to it in a minute. This is Genesis 2. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I think the particular echo with the lampstand in the tabernacle is to the tree of life. It was there in Eden, wasn't it? Adam and Eve had access to the tree of life. If they ate from the tree of life, they would live forever. But they sinned. They turned their back on God. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to be God. That's what that means. They wanted to reject God's rule. They wanted to be in charge. And so God banished them from the garden. And as he did so, he said the reason for banishing them from the garden was so that they wouldn't be able to reach out and eat from the tree of life. Now they've sinned. They can't live forever. And so he cut them off from the tree of life. And yet here we are in Exodus, the tabernacle, God coming to dwell, and he puts a tree in the middle of the tabernacle, pointing to God restoring life. As God draws near, he's restoring life to his people. He's making life, eternal life, possible again. And again, we can look forwards to Jesus, can't we? How's this going to be fulfilled? How is God going to restore life to his people? Most of the people couldn't see this lampstand. Only the priests could see it. So again, we look forward to Jesus. Anything to do with Jesus that connects with light. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. It's in John 8. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you see that connection? Jesus makes, he is the light of the world. He's bringing truth and hope and understanding and life, the light of life. How was Jesus going to do that? Well, again, it was through his death, wasn't it? He would die, lay down his life that we might have life. He could say, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, will live. I said those words at a funeral this week. Jesus offers life because he died and rose again. And again, we can look on to Revelation, and again, there's lots of connections with the lampstand. In Revelation 1, Jesus is there, and it says that he's amongst seven lampstands. And those lampstands are the churches. Remember, we looked recently. You are the light of the world. We become the lampstands, the church, shining God's light and truth. Then in the new creation, at the end of Revelation, there's a description of there being no need for light. Because God is there and the Lamb is the lamp. And then in Revelation 22, we read these words. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. In Revelation 22, the tree of life is there. There's access to the tree of life. Again, it's telling us there's eternal life for those who are trusting in Jesus. And the lampstand in the tabernacle points to that, doesn't it? God is restoring life to his people as he draws near, as he comes to dwell with them. He's restoring relationship. He's restoring life. Where do you look to for life? For satisfaction? For long life? We can be drawn to all sorts of things, can't we? The medical appointments we have that will keep this life going a little bit longer. Or fulfillment in life, our sport or our education, our hobbies or our holidays. They can all offer things that we might use as substitutes for Jesus. They're good things. But Jesus ultimately offers us life. Life with God now, in relationship with Him, life for eternity in His new creation. Let's keep looking to Jesus, the light of the world. Let's keep holding on to His promises. He is our source of life and light.